I'm trying to find out what they got on Trump.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, the clock's not working, but I know that it's time to start. So, the Code Enforcement Board meeting of January 12, 2017 is called to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Here.
Mrs. House?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mrs. Kundig?
Here.
And Mr. Sino is here. Everyone's here.
Good. Okay. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Are there additions or corrections? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve? Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign, opposed. Motion carries to approve minutes. Would anyone like to disclose any ex parte communication on the board? Yes, no. Okay. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Madam Chair. We do have one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda, as far as I'm aware. Number 6, CEB 12-1667 for 1250 Bevel Road. Was in compliance as of January 9th, 2017.
Okay.
Can someone knock the lights? Can you bump it?
Yeah.
It's like, thank you. Don't want to cause a seizure for somebody.
Okay.
Thanks. There is another case that is in compliance. Case number 1, I'll go ahead and read into the record, is CEB 091649 for 157 Atlantic Avenue. It's in compliance January 4th, 2017.
Okay. Anything
else? As far as I'm aware, that's it.
Oh, would the code officers come forward and be sworn in, please?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Okay, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number, and for the most part, in orders they are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. Okay. I think so. We'll just start with our lien review today. This is case lien review number 1, CEB 07-07-142, 1644 East Shangri-La Drive, Gary S. Thomas, new owners John and June Strong. Is anyone present? Okay, please come forward.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I get to be first, huh?
Yeah.
My name's Dan Smith. I am purchasing the property, and I'm here on behalf of June Strong, who actually she passed away a few days ago.
That was the elder.
Yeah, that's the
lady,
owner.
The owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here on behalf of her. I have assigned.
I'm sorry. All right, you got to be sworn in. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
I
do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, now go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. The violation occurred. And it was
Could we hear from our attorney first, and then we'll give you a chance to respond to that and let him explain.
Perfect. Thanks.
Good morning.
Morning. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. Madam Chair, members of the board. We can probably take care of this real easy. The staff had discussed it after receiving the letter and the circumstances regarding the owner and the overall circumstances, and the recommendation of staff is that the lien be waived, that we waive the fine. I was trying to recall all of the circumstances, and I don't, but I know that I have a letter here, and I don't know if that's been shared with the board or not. From its die?
Yeah.
Yeah, and after our discussion, as the staff discussed it, the reason we're here is because it's within the power of the board. It was not something that administratively the staff could do on their own. And so by the recommendation of the staff is that the fine be waived.
And they're in compliance. Everything's fine.
Yes, everything is in compliance.
Good. I think it was...
Was it, just a question, was there title insurance on this when this passed?
Yes, sir. And
you come up now.
Yes, sir. The title company missed this violation because it occurred as it was being sold. It was the property was cited in late 2007, and it was in the process of being sold to John and June Strong, the current title holders. So when they did a lien review and everything on the property, it didn't show because it was still in process. So the new owners, John and June Strong, current owners, had no knowledge of the lien or anything, and it didn't come up until I tried to purchase the property and we pulled it up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
So when did it come into compliance?
I'm unsure, but I would I would assume that when it was sold that John and June had put a lot of effort into fixing up the property.
Okay.
So it would have been shortly after. So I couldn't tell you exactly when it would have been put into compliance. It was back in 2007.
Is it in there?
What the violations were?
When did it come into compliance?
The affidavit of compliance.
Yeah.
Date of compliance.
Well, the affidavit, he just signed it, I believe. It was 12/14/2016. However, it probably came into compliance long before then. That's just when they became aware that they needed aware of what was cited in the case. And so we had a reinspection.
Okay.
But it was, I believe the violations were rust on a garage door. Danny.
Yeah, it was rust
here.
On a garage door that could have just probably been pressure washed or cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Inspector Garcia.
Any comments from the board?
The city's cost, for filing and everything, they need to be covered, whatever those costs may be.
I think so, too. Can you estimate what
question?
A cost would be?
Again, it's from 2007. We are The staff's perspective, and I'll look to Mr. Garcia if he has something additional. But the perspective is that again, it's reasonable that they would not have known because of the way things transpire. And so, yes, we did have a case that someone else did do something back in 2007 that we would normally try and recover. But in this circumstance, we just did not see any request for recovery. That doesn't mean the board can't impose anything. Trying to calculate from 2007, I guess, maybe a couple of $100. I'm not sure what it would be. But again, I tend to Mr. Garcia if you want him to address that further.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the board, Hector Garcia, Neighborhood Services Division Manager. As Anthony Jackson has stated, after reviewing the case and looking at it, the process and when the property was being purchased and everything else, I'm sure that the deceased parties would have acted correctly and gotten the property in compliance immediately and not knowing that this was going on. Unfortunately, we have the situation that we're in. I understand what you're saying to gather a cost that incurred from us, but we're going back to 2007. Mm-hmm. I feel, and our recommendation was to waive the fee and wish the new owner good luck, and hopefully, you know, we won't have to come back to before here again.
Okay. Thank you.
I tend to agree with that. You're talking about a very small amount of money, and why not just cut it loose?
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to waive the lien in today as of Thursday, January 12, 2017. We have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you, guys. My wife and I both work in the city, and we look forward to becoming part of the community.
Good. Great. Right. Thank you.
Thank you all.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This is a lien of $15,000.
Yes. The recording fee?
It's been waived.
It's too late now. Oh, I just waived we waived everything in the motion, correct? I think we waived everything in the motion.
Yeah, that's all, that's part of that total, that's part
right.
of the
lien. All right. Okay. All right, now, case, then we'll go to our hearing of our regular cases. Case number one is in compliance. That's CEB 0916-49. Case number, and we'll move on to case number two. CEB 0416-20, David E. Spivey is at 1100 Vine Street. Is the respondent present? Good morning. Just state your name and address for the record, and then we'll hear from our attorney.
David Spivey.
Good morning. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, listen to Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to respond.
Madam Chair, member of the board, this property is before you for determination of imposition of a fine. As you may recall, this is a property that, well, as it indicates, this is a case that first initiated back in December 2015. We had an issue of excessive outside storage, and extensions were given to this couple to try and resolve what they themselves self-described as a hoarding issue. We looked at various alternatives. We had talked about something that we thought we could, the staff could maybe guide them to that would assist them maybe remedying this situation somewhat. Now, the results, though, have been that nothing's changed. The property remains in the same status. There was very little progress made. The request of staff, the inspector's John Stinson, the request of staff is that $150 per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $10,000.
May I ask what the staff did in terms of helping them or did not do? I mean, we didn't rule on this because the staff was going to come up,
right,
hopefully, with something. What was it they came up with and didn't happen?
I tender that to Mr. Garcia.
Again, good morning. We reached out to various organizations, including the possibility of the city possibly going in there. I spoke with the former deputy city manager. The amount of work, I even reached out to a recycling company, and they contacted me and just basically laughed when I spoke to them. We reached out to the show hoarders. I got a reply back that stated that the show was, thank you for, you know, the interest, but they're no longer doing things like that. We tried to make an attempt to locate the respondent's daughter to no avail. My understanding is that she's basically washing her hands of it. So again, we've reached out, even a church organization. If everyone here in this room today went there to do some work. It would probably take us about a month, just us doing 10 to 12 hours of work there every day. That's everyone in this room. And that's just the backyard. I mean, what you see in the front, yes, the front, they have done an effort, and they have cleaned up the front. Last time I was there, it was a...
I've got my backyard, so its problem is now.
Correct.
I've got a dumpster.
Okay, wait a minute.
Let me finish. So, again, have I answered...
Unfortunately,
your question, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we've done what we can, and unfortunately, it's a battle, because we get cooperation from one party and then we won't get cooperation from the other party. So, it's a back and forth. So, unfortunately, we're here before you today, and as Mr. Jackson said, our recommendation is going to be a fine of $100 per day.
$150.
Mm-hmm. And. That's where we're going with it.
Okay. Mr. Spivey?
I can't hear half what he said. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's okay. He was trying to explain all the things that the city has tried to do to help you correct the situation.
I appreciate it, but I haven't been able to get any help myself. I finally got a dumpster this week. This is costing me a fortune, and I've got no help. It's just myself and my wife. She works full-time at Walmart, and she goes in at an odd hour, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night. So she can't help me too much in the morning or in the evening at all. So whenever she goes to work, I go back, start pulling stuff out, putting it to the street, people come get it, and that's all I can say. I just need some more time. I'm running ragged right now. I'm out of money. Totally out of money. I've been out of money for some time now, for that matter. So I'm asking for just a little more time.
Are these pictures from recent? I saw the older ones. I'm trying, and I knew there were some newer ones up there,
I don't even have that white truck anymore.
Okay, well, we'll look at the new pictures.
That's all gone.
That's all gone?
That's all gone.
This is what?
I can't really see.
January 9th.
Yeah, everything that's on the porch. I got some stuff on the porch now. I've got a bird cage that a lady's supposed to come get.
A what?
A bird cage. Bird
cage.
Uh-huh. She's coming up. It's sitting up there.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, but the backyard is what we're concerned with. I've got a bunch of detritus out there from the storm and everything else is out there. That storm kind of threw me off, too, because we had to drag a lot of stuff to the 4th Street and to Vine Street.
Can I ask the inspector, what percentage, I guess, has been cleaned up here?
Okay. As the pictures depict, these pictures were taken January 9th. The front of the property has been compared to how it was original in its original state. It's been cleaned up fairly much. What you can't see is the backyard, because unfortunately we don't have access to the backyard unless the property owner allows us into the backyard. But the time that they did allow us into the backyard, he has approximately, and I could be wrong, you could probably tell us, you have about an acre in your backyard?
Right.
It's about an acre in the backyard, and the entire property is... Full to the point where he has a dilapidated RV, just for an example. There's a couple of boats back there that are dilapidated. There's a shed that's dilapidated and falling down. There's all sorts of other outside storage, and I don't want to say it's trash and debris, because it could, one person's trash could be someone else's gold. But unfortunately, we can't show you those pictures currently because we can't get into the backyard. We do have some photos from when Inspector Stenson and I initially went out, did the investigation, and we made a futile effort to try to help in trying to get something done and into the backyard. The front yard, they did, as I state, do a lot. The current pictures depict some outside storage again, but you know, the backyard, we just can't get in there. I mean,
allowing you to get in there?
It's not that he's not allowing us. It's that when we go there, the wife's there or he's not home, or it's vice versa. So again, it's one pitting against each other, so to speak. So if the wife's there, no, I can't let you back there because my husband's not home. And that's what we're getting. So again, we can't go into the backyard unless we're allowed to. But nothing has changed.
Even if you just stand, and I'm just using this as a show and tell, we stand here and you look at the gate. You know, you've got vegetation, you've got the storage, the materials that are out there, just an overabundance of it.
Are the neighbors complaining?
Wait, what? Go ahead, and then Neil, Mr. Arrington.
There's a picture of a door. Is this the storage door?
No, I think that's the front. Is that the front door?
That's the front door.
That is the front door.
That's from the fire.
What fire?
I had a fire back in 08.
Oh, 08.
Yeah.
Burned a section out.
Uh-huh.
Have your neighbors complained about this situation, sir?
I went to price that door. It's unbelievable.
Well,
all right. We can ask Mr. Stenson that question.
It is complaint driven.
Okay.
Okay.
Now this has been going on for 2 years, right?
Or longer, right? It was just cited over a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've had a year since Mr. Spivey. You've had a year since this was brought to your attention.
Well, it started off a year ago.
Right. And within that year, did you make any effort to clean anything up?
I'm having a real hard time here. I had the flu, and it's really messed up my hair.
I said within the last year, have you made an effort to clean anything up?
We moved all kinds of stuff out of there.
And you moved it out or to the backyard?
No, we put it in the street. And people have taken stuff, like stuff, want stuff. I've got a dumpster this week, finally. I finally found somebody that could give me a dumpster at a reasonable rate, something that I can afford. And we're filling it up as we speak. Because it's wearing me out pulling that stuff from 200 feet flat plus with a wagon or something like that. I don't have my truck anymore. I went down from a truck to a smaller car.
How many years did it take you to get to this situation, to the point you're at?
I've been pulling all stuff out of there for 16 years. Oh. I've been living in the house for 16 years. And when I got there, I was trying to clear out the garage and all the stuff around. At that time, I had a little bit of help. Once in a while, I could get a friend. But now, all my friends are in the same shape as I am. They're in the 70s and 80 years old. And we run on empty sometimes. I've been trying to recruit some younger people that I have. I talked to the Baptist ministry. They're going to get back to me eventually, see if they can get some of the kids out. Mr. Simpson said that he was going to see if he could get the police explorers. That hadn't come to fruition. I'm just working by myself right now, pulling it all as far as I can get it, a little at a time. I have about 3 hours between taking her to work and sunset. Usually can pull as much as I can. And with a dumpster in there, I can throw it into the dumpster a lot easier than I can drag it out to the street.
I think Mr. Garcia would like to say something.
Okay. Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I know we've made our recommendation, but I just here in the audience, this gentleman and this young lady here have stepped up and said if we would be willing to give them a month and they would go and help Mr. Spivey to try to clean up the property, and we're going to put them in touch with Mr. Spivey and try to clean up.
Oh, that's wonderful. You were just sitting here?
Well, I have a little case. I'm
sorry. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning to the board.
Hi.
My name is Cynthia Ponder. I'm at 511 Park Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. And, you know...
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Me and my husband, we do scrapping and clean up and stuff, you know, as an extra income.
Yes.
And I understand what he's going through with, because I was in a situation years ago with my grandmother, and he's an elderly gentleman, and I have a heart, and I hate to see him struggle. And okay. I want to help him if he allow me to.
All right, Mr. Spivey, do you understand that this couple is willing to help you?
I am willing to accept any help that I can get. I'm getting.
You're willing to accept that help?
I'm willing to accept it. If you're willing to help, I'm willing
yes,
to accept
Yes, I'm willing to help you.
Trust me.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm by myself pretty much.
Well, we're willing to help you, me and my husband. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Does anyone on the board have any more comments? Mr. Garcia, do you have any more comments?
No, ma'am. I just, like I said, Madam Chair, members of the board, I know our recommendation originally was to fine Mr. Spivey, but with the recent volunteer from the audience, actually, I know we've been working on this, and my position is that I'd like to see if we can just give them an extra month, continue this case to next month, and if by next month no change has been done, then we move forward with the recommended fine.
That makes sense to me. Does that sound, Mr. Jones?
Why don't we, since this is such a Herculean effort, why don't we give them 2 months, and then...
Well, we want to know, I think giving two, I mean, we can determine next month whether we want to do another month.
That's right.
Depending on the progress that's made and whether or not Mr. Spivey actually is willing to accept the help, and we'll move forward. Okay, so the chair will entertain a motion to continue this case until the next meeting, which is February 1st, 2017.
Actually, Madam Chair, that's the cutoff date.
Oh, sorry.
Do you just want to continue to the meeting day?
Yes.
Okay. So that'd be 2-9.
Right. February 9th, 2017.
So moved.
No, but hold on. I mentioned to the chairperson that we need to be able to inspect, see if anything gets done. Right now, we don't have that authority. So I think we should make it. It's up to you, obviously, the board.
What?
We can take it on an inspection.
You've
got to see what's going on.
Yes. And the... A couple that's going to be helping have the inspector's business cards. I'm going to provide them with mine as well to keep us up to date on what's going on. And at the same token, I'm going to remind Mr. Spivey that it's imperative that we be able to do these inspections into
that's
the backyard.
Fine.
Do we need to add anything to the motion?
I just want to make it part of the motion so that he has no choice in
the
matter.
All right.
You'd have to translate for it.
We're given the time, but we want to be able to inspect. I think people,
don't we have the right to inspect anyway? It's an open case.
To clean
it up. Oh, the backyard.
That couple's going to help you, but you have to allow Inspector Stenson into the backyard to see the progress.
If I was there, he come up right after I left the other day.
Okay.
I'm there on the run.
Okay, so we need to include the backyard.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to continue this case until 2-9-17. And have it contingent upon allowing the code inspectors access to the backyard, access to the yard.
Second.
All right. Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So you have another month to get this done.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck. All right, let's move on to case number 3, CEB 10-16-55, Hunter Harold Williamson, Jr., and Lisa H. Davis. Are the respondents present? All right. And this address is 622 Ruth Street.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The Inspector John Stinson, Mr. Stinson, reports that the property remains in non-compliance, that all items remain. He's requesting a fine be imposed of $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Any questions? So there's been no movement whatsoever. That's it?
That's correct.
Okay. The chair will entertain a, does anyone want to ask any questions? Or Mr. Stenson, would you like to say anything?
That's not the couple who walked out, right?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. John Stenson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. As it pertains to this particular case, the outside storage still remains. The weeds have been corrected. The peeling paint has been corrected. They fixed the windows and screens. However, the damaged exterior doors, the damaged roof, electrical fixtures, and dilapidated stairs still remain. And that's as of this morning.
Okay.
The house is occupied?
No, sir. It's vacant.
Any more comments from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, January 12, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Is that you? Okay. My hearing's not so good either. All right, let's move on to case number four. CEB 11-16-65, Clarence and Beverly A. Mallory at 545 Van Ness Street. Are the respondents present? All right.
That's not the couple that's outside now, is it? I just didn't want to skip them.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this property remains in noncompliance. He informs me that the only thing that's been remedied of the list of violations is the water feature structure. But everything else remains in noncompliance. He is asking for this case initially came before you, or they were initially notified in September of 2016, and he's asking for a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments from the board?
I have a question.
Question? Go ahead.
This is unoccupied.
Occupied, unoccupied?
Mr. Stinson indicates it to be vacant.
Okay.
Is there a safety factor involved here? I see it says unsecured property.
I'd have to tender Mr. Stinson.
Good morning again. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. Qualifications are on file. The first floor of the property is secure. The second floor is basically unsecurable, but it's not accessible either from the exterior. As you can see, you still have the broken windows, the roof damage, the exterior doors, the outside storage of junk and debris. basically, the only two things that has happened as far as correcting the violations is that the property has been secured and the water feature has been filled in. So that's no longer a hazard.
Okay.
Is this privately owned?
It is privately owned. I believe they're attempting to sell it, or someone's attempting to sell it. But I've had have no contact with the actual property owner. There is a management company of sorts that actually did come in to secure the property. But other than that, there's been no other progress.
Any other comments from the board or questions? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, January 12, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart, second. Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Let's move on to case number 5, CEB 11-16-66, Erica Davis, address 615 Washington Street. Ms. Davis here? Is the respondent here? No. Okay. We'll hear from the attorney.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. Respondent was originally notified back in September of 2016. Mr. Stinson reports that they have been working on the property, but they are not in compliance, and he's asking for a $50 day fine to $10,000.
How much?
$50 a day fine to the maximum of $10,000. And now with tender Mr. Stinson for any factual questions.
Good morning.
Good good morning again. Busy person.
Yes. John Stinson, code inspector with the city of McCallum. Cases are on file. The only significant change to the condition of this property is that the abundance of outside storage that was in the front has gotten quite a bit smaller.
Okay.
Quite a bit smaller. They have addressed the landscaping issue, but that will be all. There's still quite a bit of outside storage up front still.
That's this year, that this picture right
that
here.
That is this morning.
Oh.
That's okay. This morning. Most of the outside storage of junk and debris and the junk vehicle have now been moved to the rear of the property, which is still visible from the backside. There you go. That's part of a vehicle, along with the rest of the outside storage of junk and debris. So ultimately, the majority of the violations have not been corrected.
Right.
And we are asking for $50 a day.
Can I ask you, what is the difference in asking $200 a day in the other ones and $50 a day for this one?
Well, as you recall, the last time we were here, the owner did have some sort of hardships with family members and things. And they have been working on it, just not to the city standards. So, I mean, there was quite a bit of outside storage out front,
mm-hmm.
refrigerators
okay.
and cars. So, I mean, there has been some progress, but mm-hmm. we want to give them a little motivation so they can go ahead and finish this out.
Right. Okay. So they are working on it?
Yes.
And you've been in touch with them?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the board?
My usual question.
Okay.
Unoccupied?
It is occupied.
Oh.
That's correct.
Are there any safety issues involved?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Any other comments? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day against the respondent effective today, January 12, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion? We have a motion from Mrs. Himes. Do we have a second? Second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 6 is CEB 11-16-67 at 1250 Bevel Road, and that is in compliance as of what date was that?
January 9th, 2017.
We'll move on to case number 7, CEB 12-16-70, Principal Eagle Capital, LLC at 202 South Seneca Boulevard. Is the respondent present?
My understanding, he was here earlier and he left, but he's accepted, he's agreeable with the recommendation of staff. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, and what Mr. Sino's... I don't have anything more to say than that.
Okay. Could we just review the case then, and why was he what was so acceptable?
Sure, I'll tender it to Mr. Garcia.
Inspector Daniel Garcia, City Code Enforcement with Daytona Beach, credentials on file. Mr. Travato was here this morning.
Okay.
He had court at 9:30 in Lake Mary, so we allowed him to go to that, and I told him I would just amend to the next cutoff. And being that he applied for a permit on December 21st, 2016, and it was under review, so they were going back and forth on what he needed to get the permit. But this morning, the nephew came in, which is his the GC, the contractor, and they pulled the permit. They gave it to him this morning.
Permit for what?
The permit to do the exterior, as you see in the pictures.
The stairs?
And the stairs included.
And this has been going on since...
July.
He was the nephew was a contractor hired because of the storms and all that. He got all booked up and he couldn't, but now he says that once he gets the permit he was going to get a crew and get down there and get it all done.
So what's your recommendation?
Allow the next cutoff to come in compliance by then. And he just got the permit this morning.
Okay, so the permit was issued.
Mm-hmm. He picked it up.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the board?
Again, the safety issue, the exterior stairs are not attached, strictly sound, or in good repair. Are these stairs...
Last time, it's still not a safety issue. It is it's unoccupied. And like I said, he's got the permit today, and he said he was going to get a crew on it, and they were going to take care of it.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is February 1st, 2017, or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. That's it for our old cases. How about our new cases? We'll start on those. All right. This is the first one, case number 8, CEB 01-17-02, ETN Ventures, LLC, at 640 North Wild Olive.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're the respondent.
Attorney Eric Preston on behalf of ETN Ventures.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Sure. Preston.
Preston. Okay. Okay. And your attorney?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson, and then we'll allow you to...
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, pursuant to first of all, this property is here for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports pursuant to a report he had received from Ms. Galantine that this property was being advertised on FlipKey for short-term rental. Mr. Klieg made contact with the respondent and even has had communication with Mr. Preston. Mr. Klieg reports that the property is now in compliance.
It is now in compliance,
and he's asking for a finding of compliance non-compliance and now in compliance.
How did they become in compliance?
Once again, what we rely upon is if we are unable to determine it being advertised and there's no other report of the actual activity, then we conclude that it's in compliance. We're unable to show otherwise. They report it's in compliance, and we're not able to show that it's not.
Has the attorney notified their client of the specifics why this came about, that we have an ordinance and they understand it and we're not going to have to see them again?
That's correct, sir. In fact, my client was unaware of the ordinance, but as soon as he was made aware, he removed all listings and advertisements that he had put up immediately. The property is actually now, from my understanding, listed for sale as he realizes that he cannot do what he wanted with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more comments from the board? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance. For any future violation, be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 in case be dismissed.
Thank you very much. You all
there's such
morning.
A motion. We need the motion. Motion by Mr. Harrington. Second?
Second.
Second by, was that Mr. Smart?
Mr. Jones, I believe.
Mr. Jones. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I was ready to get out of here, so I'm sorry. Y'all have a good morning.
Do you have an email address, Mr. Preston? Or
sure.
I'll email you a copy of the order.
I didn't hear you that either.
It's a way fast. All right. Thank you. Case number 9, CEB01-17-03. Amber Nicole Chavez at 1312 Phillips Street. Is Ms. Chavez here? All right. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. Excuse me. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. And Mr. Sanders reports, one of our new inspectors, Mr. Sanders reports that actually we were notified and contacted by the title company. There is a pending sale within a matter of days. However, as we typically, we have pending sales, so we never know until it happens whether it will happen or what's next. The desire of the inspector having discussed this with him is that this property is generated complaints, and we believe it's still reasonable to seek a finding of noncompliance, and if indeed it's sold, then we'll just go ahead and withdraw after that.
Okay.
But we would request a finding of noncompliance. The property is in noncompliance at this time. And we would request that it be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay.
But obviously, if indeed it sells, we'd have to address that.
I'm sorry? Would it record the order of noncompliance?
No, we
never do. Okay, no, we will not.
There's no effect on our title until after, so when the lien is filed.
We'll let the person know that it's happening.
Yes, he has an email.
Yeah, we'll send them notice of it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, not
yes.
Just not recorded
record
in public records.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Sanders, would you come forward, introduce yourself, and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. This was a complaint-driven issue, and the lady that's actually in the center, we're going to have another one just on the other side of her here in just a minute, was worried about people breaking in and, you know, also the property being in disrepair. And the property is abandoned. There's nothing. There's nobody in there living. But, you know, after the storm, I made contact with the owner. She finally emailed me, I think it was a week ago, right before Christmas, telling me she was going to get the property cleaned. And I was like, okay, you know, and I left the order or left the notice of violation as is to bring it to hearing. And she never moved on it. And she emailed me yesterday and the title company also.
Okay.
So, you know, I gave her an opportunity to try to start cleaning up before she sells it just to show good faith, mm-hmm. but she never did.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Any comments or questions from the board?
think on a lot of these houses, you know, that something concrete should be put in place as a fine, because a lot of, you know, whether the sale's pending or not, it can fall through, and so we can, if it comes into compliance, you know, next month, we can, I think it should be a fine imposed.
Well, first we have to find it in non-compliance this month, and that's what, I mean, I'm more than happy to do that. And then if, next month, if nothing's happened, then we get to impose a fine. You know, the story of, oh, I've got, you know, there's a pending sale. We hear that a lot.
A lot.
And it doesn't influence my decision very often at all to hear something like that. So, so I think we'll just go with it. The chair will entertain a motion to to find respondent noncompliance and our respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Okay. Who made the motion? All right. Mr. Jones made the motion, and Mr. Smart made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right.
I have a question. I seem to recall previous cases similar to this. Is there some action that we have to take, I guess, through the city commission to make sure the house is secured so it doesn't end up being a home for people that just don't have a home?
If it's not secured, isn't that up to the inspector to put on the report?
I think you're getting that confused with another issue. If the property was insecure and it was accessible to vagrants or anything else, we would automatically notify the property owner if we had the property owner's information, put the property on a trespass arrest, board up the property. If they didn't secure the property, we would go ahead and secure the property. You're thinking of something else where I believe it was either last month or the month before that that you guys wanted us to get in touch with the city manager to take action on something else where our hands are already tied. We've done what we can as far as code enforcement, and you as a board, and you were looking for something else.
Okay.
Does that clear that up? Okay.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to the case number 10, CEB01-17-04, David Pitts Estate. David E. Pitts Estate at 1320 Phillips Street. Oh, state. No one's here to represent the estate. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that this property remains in noncompliance. He was requesting a next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. He indicates that the property is a vacant property at this time, and so that's his recommendation. I turn to Mr. Sanders if you have any factual questions regarding the case.
Is there any representative for the estate?
Not here. Oh, have you been in touch with any representative?
So this is probably in probate.
We sent a certified mail. Based on the address that's in the property appraisers, but I'll see if Mr. Sanders has any additional information.
Okay. Mr. Sanders.
Yes, I sent out the certified mail and it was returned back unclaimed. And then I posted the property so after that, and I do have the letter right there where it was unclaimed.
Have you heard from anyone?
I haven't heard from anyone on this property. I did do an inspection yesterday to take my final pictures, and there were people wandering around the property like they were going to try to, you know, looking to buy the property. So I haven't heard any activity on this one either.
Okay.
You might want to check the probate file and see if someone listed the PR and notify the PR.
Ms. Hampton's good at doing that. Typically, she would search that out, and if she finds it, we'll make sure we notify. I believe if this is what the one you acknowledged before, this is the property on the opposite side of the same.
Yes.
So these are
kind of nearby properties, both abandoned and with similar circumstances.
The only.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
So we are going to find the property in the name of the estate. Is that how what we're?
Well, we don't know if it is an estate.
Well, it is listed as David E. Pitts Estate.
Excuse me. And while the statute provides for us to notify the name on the tax roll, any additional information we're able to obtain, we would continue to search and seek to get additional information and notify any individuals we know that would be of interest. And so at this time, that's all we have, I think. But I know I see Ms. Hampton even searching as we talk.
No, there's just a will that was deposited. That's it.
Mm-hmm. How can you tell that the ceiling is caving in?
I looked through the back window, and my camera wouldn't capture because of the glare. Yeah, I got lucky on the other property, but I didn't on this one. But the ceiling is collapsed, and it's letting water in. The lady in the middle of these two properties is concerned about mold, and I told her she needs to go seek out the county for that. The neighbors were taking care of the yard, and they got tired of it, and they said, you know, we're not going to take care of the property anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're at now. Somebody has to know about it because both notices, the notice of violation and the notice of hearing, are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the chair will, any other questions or comments? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 11, CEB01-17-05, Sandora Davis and Kenzel Washington at 349 Wilson Avenue. Are the respondents present? Please come forward. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record.
349 Wilson, Angela Darby.
349 Wilson, Senora Davis.
Jeremiah Scott, 120 Meredith Street.
Okay.
You said Jeremiah?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Scott, okay. All right,
now.
Can you all please raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, if you three will just have a seat for a minute, we'll let Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders testify, and then we'll hear you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. At least up until a week ago, the inspector reported that he had no contact. He does acknowledge that they have a good bit of a job to do to bring this property into compliance. It remains in noncompliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. He's requesting that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Mr. Sanders, what can you tell us?
Yes, ma'am. This was a complaint-driven issue, and I went out and inspected the property. As you see, they have multiple vehicles and a pod that's sitting real close to the road and in the yard, and they have a lot of cleanup to do, and they need to freshen up the house also. There was no contact up until last week, and then the property owner finally contacted me, and I'm willing to work with them per Mr. Garcia to let them get into compliance. They have a number of vehicles which they've stated they have the tags for the new registration, so to bring them into compliance. But we're asking that they do clean up all the trash, junk, and debris and, you know, give them more time. And they did, like I say, communicate with me and I feel like they need a little more time.
Are all the vehicles parked on hard surface?
There's no grass. It's just the way the yard sit. It's kind of a weird-looking yard. And now maybe if we move the vehicles out, we could see the surfaces, but it's all dirt at this point. So,
is the pod and everything in the right-of-way?
The pod is the corner of it, and I'm requesting that they either move it back, fill it with their stuff, and then remove it according to code.
I mean, that's the biggest issue of having that in the right-of-way, because that obtains a safety hazard. And I'm surprised the police department hasn't been involved in that.
Right.
Can I ask a question about this pod? Is that something that stays there on the property?
No.
If I'm not mistaken, the code says that you can have a pod for the allowed time period, because I'm new to the city, and you can fill it and remove it.
Okay.
To storage.
So, I mean, it's like a dumpster? Is it like a dumpster?
No.
It's a storage pod.
The pod is a storage unit, so that you can, if you have a permit for some type of construction, let me rephrase that. If you have a permit for, let's say, remodeling of your home, you're tearing out cabinets, you're tiles, things of that nature, you're allowed to put a pod on there. In this circumstance, they're, I guess, getting rid of their junk, so it would probably fall under the category of a dumpster. However, the positioning of it, to answer
Mr. Weatherhall's
question, was it in the right of way? Part of it is. So I believe that the police, just because it's like, let's utilize this as if this was the right-of-way, if it's just like this part of the corner, so I'm assuming that they're not really paying attention to it unless it creates a hazard or somebody complains about it. So with us advising them to move it, and then once it's filled, they're going to have to get it out of there because it will not be able to remain there.
Is there any time limit on on pod being moved? I'm concerned because more of it than the corner is out the right of way, because I'm sure that electric or telephone pole there is in the right of way. So a lot of it's in the right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a safety issue being that close to the
We have a police liaison officer, so we'll get with him and have him take a look at it and see if it is creating a hazard. However, it will have to be moved, and we've already indicated that the parties are here, that it's going to have to be moved. The vehicles, whatever's not fixable, they got to have to get rid of. And the other thing is once that pod's full, they got to get rid of it. They got to pay, that pod's not there forever. They got to pay on a monthly basis for it. So it's going to behoove them to get rid of it quickly as possible. Again, we're here to determine whether they're in compliance or not, and by next month, hopefully, they should be in compliance.
Okay. All right. Let us hear from the respondents. Who'd like to speak first? Please come up. Are you Miss Davis?
No, I'm Miss Darby.
Oh, Miss Darby. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, we like you said, we've been in compliance with Mr. Sanders, and he's very nice, and we've been going through it with a storm. We was a storm victim with repairs in the house and flooding, and clothes and everything flooding in the house. So we need the part to put our stuff in, the stuff that good. And we just been, with FEMA and the trucks, we had to pull a whole lot of stuff out, the debris all over the house, so in the yard. So we've been really working. So we need the part to keep our good stuff in it. And we never had no problem with the police or nothing, because in that neighborhood, police always there. Crime areas down, way down the problem. So we just doing the best we can, and we just gonna move fast toward to get it over with. So, Mr. Sanders and everybody been good, but we are a victim of the storm.
So you, Mr. Wright, you live there?
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Back and forth.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's about all. And just do the job, and that's it. You know, thank you for whatever you're doing.
Okay.
And give it us time. We just need time.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Would either of you two like to testify to anything? No?
I'm a good person.
I'm always smiling. I'm a good person. I would help her go ahead and clean it out, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Other stuff being pulled. But once we pull it out on the road, they don't come and pick it up. We'll pull a lot of stuff on the road in a truck. They just ride right by. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull everything out on the road and pile it as high as a house on the side of the road, the city property, and wait for y'all to come get it. But that'd be fair. Well, I'm gonna pull everything on the side of the road and pile it as high as the house. Trash, everything that's in the yard, and pull it. And will y'all come and pick it up then? Yeah. And don't say that you got too much out there and you can't pick it up.
Yeah. What I was just gonna say is, the reason I pointed to him is just work with your inspector. He'll tell you what the roots are and how you can have that resolved.
All right, then.
You're not getting it picked up.
But
you do it right,
we'll put stuff on side and the trash, they'll just drive right by, and they'll be sitting out there for weeks, you know, bags and bags and bags of stuff. Okay. You know what I'm saying? We just stop putting it out there.
Okay.
We put it on one side or the other side.
What he's talking about is the storm damage with the storm. It stayed out there 2 months. And we couldn't move the stuff on the bike. We had to fight, and the truck passed by. And then they started with the people they had. They had the cars behind them to get it because they just come on the road. So we didn't. The stuff didn't get moved from the damage to the storm out to even December the 15th for the storm. So that's what he was talking about. So okay. We just didn't have no issue to help, you know.
Right.
So, I know enough.
I know how long it
takes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, we just, you know, when we pull more out, you know, we got that to do. So, we're moving along. We just need more help.
Okay. Well, you just stay in touch with the code officer, and he'll guide you through what you need to do and what you can do and what you can't do.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Remember, I'm still a good person.
I know. All right. Any questions for the board? So your recommendation, Mr. Jackson, is that we just simply find him in noncompliance and come back next month, right?
Yes, and Madam Chair, we recognize that it's a big job, but we mm-hmm. think that we need him back, and
okay.
so we're asked that it come back next month, and hopefully they'll have
that's
it all
fine.
Done.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Smart, second. Motion, Mr. Jones, second. Mr. Smart, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
That's February 1st.
All right, but we need to move on. If you have questions, you can talk to whoever you need to. Okay.
February 1st.
All right. Next case is number 12, CEB01-17-06, Gardens of Daytona Limited. At 633 Gene Street, Unit 3. Respondents are present, right? Just wait a second and we'll get everybody squared away here. Okay, please come up and if you're going to, if you want to respond, state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Marilyn Baker, I'm the property manager
okay.
at that property.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll let the code officers and the attorney speak first, and then we'll hear from you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy, one of our newer, but not as new, inspectors. Mr. McCoy reports that the property is now in compliance, but is requesting a finding of noncompliance and now in compliance.
based on the circumstance. This is the commercial structure, the Daytona Gardens apartments. I mean, it's residential, but it's multifamily apartments. And so just so that they'd be on notice of being able to make sure these things are handled in a timely fashion so that we don't have to come out. So we're asking for a finding of compliance, non-compliance.
Vice versa, non-compliance.
Reverse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Yeah, non-compliance, now in compliance.
Okay.
Apologize.
That's four.
So they're in compliance now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Ms. Baker, what would you like to tell us?
We were in compliance.
Okay.
When this happened.
Okay.
I mean, I can give you the quick story if you want.
How could you be in compliance when that happened?
Well, we had an emergency call after hours from the 633 apartment. She said that she had raw sewage. So our maintenance guy on Saturday, after the call, he went out there. We had to call in a second maintenance guy. They spent 5 hours trying to clear the drain line. We had to call the plumber. And that was, okay, this occurred on the 12th. On the 14th, that Monday, the plumber came out and cleared the drain, cleared everything. So you guys came out on the next day. But we had already had the drain cleared and everything.
What are these pictures of all this damage?
That's when we tear up carpet. She got new carpet.
Okay,
she didn't have power, and her carpet got kind of ucky because she didn't have her power turned on.
So these pictures were taken by the code officer?
Real Floors is the company we use. They tear up the carpet. That's them tearing up the carpet, giving her new carpet.
I have a question. You said the owl wasn't on. So you tore up the carpet. What does the owl relate to the carpet?
The condition of the carpet was the resident's lack of having her power turned on.
Okay, can you explain it to me?
But that's what we're looking at, the carpet.
Okay, I mean, there were no water or anything?
No.
Just because the lights was off, the carpet had to be.
When they don't have their power on, they have to maintain climate control. And in this heat and humidity, their carpet gets mildew and moldy. And her gas was off, too, at the time. So we gave her new carpet, but that really had nothing to do with
okay.
her drain backed up into her tub, actually.
Okay.
Did not back up on her carpet.
Okay. Right. Different issue, right? All right. Mr. McCoy. So everything's fixed now that needs to be fixed according
Hello.
To the violations.
Hello, Jerome McCoy, City of Daytona Beach Neighborhood Service. Credentials on file. Everything is in compliance now.
Okay.
At the time, it wasn't in compliance.
Okay.
It was actually sewage
yep.
that I could visibly see myself on
right.
the carpet.
Right.
You can see that it was cleaned, but the stains were there, and the moisture was still in the carpet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any comments or questions from the board? But everything's okay now.
Everything's fine now. Yeah.
The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Smart, the motion. The second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. Case number 13, CEB 01-17-07 at the 448 Martin Luther King Trust at 448 North Martin Luther King Boulevard. The respondent present? Okay.
Good morning again.
Hi. She need to be sworn in again?
No, she was previously sworn in.
Yeah.
But you could just state your...
Good.
Oh, she's next? Oh, they're next. Yeah.
But oh,
they're not 448.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They're last.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, here we go. Mr. Jackson.
Okay, obviously we had a little bit of confusion here.
Okay, so the respondents aren't here. That's
that's okay. Correct. This is number nine, in number 13, 448 North Martin Luther King Boulevard. Mm-hmm. This property is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that he's had contact with the trustee. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for there to be a finding of noncompliance and that you give until next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. Now, I turn to Mr. McCoy if you have any factual questions.
Any questions or comments from the board? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right, let's move on to the last case, CEB 01-17-08, David Leroy Thomas. At 511 Park Drive.
Good morning again to the board. I'm Cynthia Fonda, 511 Park Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. I already been sworn in.
Okay, good. Ms. Ponder, what is your relation to David Leroy Thomas?
Well, I'm the god sister to his daughter. He passed away last year in March. And I took possession of the property, and then it was quick deeded over to me. And we've been cleaning. When we went there, it was a...
All right, let me hear from the code people first, and then we'll give you a chance to talk, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
I guess right now a tax record's not showing her ownership, so if she can, we don't have to deal with that. I mean, we'll go ahead and take them at their word, but she's under oath in her representation of ownership, but we would like maybe some, a copy of the deed if you happen to have. Okay, and if you can just follow up with Mr. McCoy so he can just have that for his file, I don't have any problem with that. Madam Chair, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. He said he's been in contact with the respondents. They are working on compliance, but at this time the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for there to be a finding of noncompliance and for you to give him until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I would turn to Mr. McCoy for any additional factual questions.
Okay. Would you like to add anything, Mr. McCoy?
The fact that, Jerome McCoy, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Service, credentials on file. The fact that the pictures show that this morning I took that picture that where they cleaned up the property. It was cited for the identification for the property. That's been corrected. And the trash and debris was like a modern day Fred Sanford. But a lot of that debris came from an unknown individual dumping the trash right in front of their property, and it was like partially on theirs, so they had the responsibility for taking care of that. But like I say, they're working on it. When I went over this morning, the area is cleaned up, and a lot of the other debris was already piled on a trailer where they was getting it out of there. I just feel like they need just a little more time. And,
okay.
Yeah, correct it.
All right. Now, Ms. Ponder, what would you like to tell us?
Yes, ma'am. As you stated, suspect Thomas A. Stephanopoulos, he had been arrested. He has a trespassing notice, and he's been dumping stuff there. And we put the police involved, which they done arrested him numerous times. And so, therefore, and then also when we took possession of the house, I call it Uncle Possum, he was a hurdle. And we had to get a lot of stuff out of there. So that's why I was feeling the pain with the gentleman, because going through with this home.
So what is that, the no trespass warrant? Or
no, that's the notice.
That's the notice.
Yes.
Okay.
He's wonderful. He's been working with us, and we're trying to do what we got to do to get it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know, you know. But he's been walking me through, and I've been following footsteps and trying to get it done fast as, you know, I can.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and/or the respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, and that concludes the hearing of our cases today. Okay. Did you have a case? Did this young lady have a case? She's with them.
Okay.
Is it a guy or a girl?
I may have misspoken.
Okay. All right, now, number 8 on the agenda is election of chair and vice chair for the board. We have these every year, so I would like to open the nominations for the election of the chair.
I have a question.
Am I
allowed to vote since... I'm not properly identified in the minutes here.
What do you mean? You're not properly identified in the minutes?
Well, you have my name as Neil.
Oh.
You're going to have to vote.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Just wondering.
We're just being informal, right?
On the minutes or the agenda? I think it was the agenda.
On the top of the agenda.
Top of the agenda, okay. Sorry about that.
Well... Okay, open nominations. No, here.
Typo.
Well, now what do we do?
Well, now we stick the
current
chairman with the chair again, that's all. I'll nominate Luigi Kundig.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Any other nominations?
I want to point out, if I can, I think we may have talked about this before. I thought y'all had like term limits, but I think y'all already waived those by choice. So I guess that'll be a continuous waiver, and we've done it before historically, no problem.
All right. So are there any other nominations?
There's nothing in the city ordinances that precludes them.
No, I believe it's just part of the rules and regulations of the board.
Their rules.
Yes, correct. I mean, they've been adopted by the commission, but it's their rules.
Their rules.
And they've waived it historically many times in the past.
Right. Okay. Now, do I need to pass the gavel for the vote?
Yes,
I'm closing the nominations. Okay. There we go.
Okay. Are there any more nominations?
I close the nomination, so we just need a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right.
Congratulations.
Okay. Now, we will open the nominations for vice chair. Do I have nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Mrs. Kynes.
No second.
Okay, we have nomination and second to the nomination. Are there any other nominations? Okay. I'll close the nominations. All right, and we'll bring that to a vote. All those in favor of Mrs. Himes for vice chair?
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
All right.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, now, there's under miscellaneous business...
Are we going to vote on salaries for the...
Yes, please.
Yes.
Two waters.
We're into two waters. All right. We had asked that we decided we'd send a letter to the city manager about a certain property. And Miss Amy went and wrote the letter up for us, that probably what we're just going to email to him or send to him, whatever. Just
I
email
probably
to
make
him.
Copies and
but I wanted to read it to you before we did that. So it's to Mr. Chisholm, city manager, and it's about the property at 613 and 615 Braddock. You remember what property that is?
Yes,
that was
right. Will this be recorded in our minutes as a public record?
Yes.
This letter?
Yes, I think so.
Well,
I think
it's
everything
it's a public,
we do. Right.
I mean, it's audio recording right now for public.
She's going to read
I'm
it.
I'm going to read it.
So you will put it in the minutes as a
Yeah, you could put this in
as
the rent. The
verbatim?
Written.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
If you want it, okay.
you want a copy in the
should be a public record.
A record.
That we
yeah, I mean it's already a record.
It's already a public record.
Yeah,
once
drafted and disseminated, it's a public record.
Yeah.
Anyone could ask
and
for it.
And it'll go in the file as well.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine. All right. Here, let me read the letter. The above referenced property has been before our board several times for violation that include exterior surfaces, missing or damaged screens, damaged roof and fascia, electric hazard, missing smoke detectors, broken windows, junk vehicle, and most recently for no water services, infestation, and a dilapidated balcony. This property has been an eyesore and detriment for the neighborhood and citizens of this community, as well as the conditions are not fit for tenant occupation, yet the property remains occupied. The property owner continuously ignores code enforcement notices of violation and orders for compliance issued by this board. The code enforcement board respectfully requests that the city apply any additional alternatives available to the city to aid in resolving the issues that are continuously afflicting the occupants of the building and the surrounding neighborhood. That satisfactory to everybody?
Everybody is familiar with that case.
Yeah, I think everybody is familiar with that case. So, okay.
Yeah, you're asking the city manager to look at it.
Right.
Maybe he can do this. Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. I mean, if there are fire inspections or anything.
The case
anything.
Has come before you already.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then,
we've done what we can do. That's
yeah.
basically what we're saying.
Yeah,
we
well respected and appreciated. I wanted to just say that I know y'all haven't voted yet. If you weren't voting for any,
I don't think we voted last
yeah,
time.
Voted.
I was just reading it into the record.
Yeah, Mr. Garcia wanted me to just mention to you that, and I guess he can as well, that after following the concerns that were raised at the last meeting, he has gotten with the city manager and they are working on. Addressing the concerns that the board has raised.
Okay.
Okay. Can I ask
what they're doing? I'd have to look to Mr. Garcia.
Mr. Garcia, tell us what's new.
Okay, since the last code board meeting, there was a commission meeting where some citizens went and expressed some concerns. I believe Mr. Weatherholtz was at that commission meeting. The fire inspector, we've gotten a hold of the fire inspector. Fire inspector went out, made a determination that we've already cited what was necessary. We've contacted the state. The state came in and see, there's a problem where the alleged, and I'm going to use that term, property owner is claiming that he resides at one of the units at that facility. So there's five units, and he's allegedly living in one. With that being said, the state has turned around and says they have no jurisdiction over it. Okay? So, again, we're getting the necessary parties involved, but there are certain loopholes, legal loopholes, that being one of them, where the owner is claiming and he's residing in one of those units, the mailing address is at one of those units. Therefore, the state turned around and says, we can't do nothing about it. It falls back on you. Well, it falls back on us where we've already exhausted all means necessary. So, again, there's a commissioner involved. The city manager is involved. I've provided them with all the case details. And, right now that's as far as it's gone. I will be trying to reach out to the city manager again and seeing what other steps
he feels or deems that we need to take. But again, we've exhausted code enforcement action.
So has the board.
And so have you all. And the other thing is that we've gone to the, taken it to the next level where we've gotten other parties involved, the state. We've gotten the fire department. Again, realize that in anything else, when you know, you've got people living there, and then the fact that he claims, and I'm saying he, the property owner, that he lives there, which he's never there when we've showed up. That's creating.
There.
I'm sorry.
All he has to do is have a mail.
That's correct. So you know, we're doing what we
does
can.
Does he claim homestead on that?
Well, that's not that matters. Yeah,
but
yeah, that's not the issue. Is just that with the statute for, you know, it's greater than four units is when a state jurisdiction.
Right. I know. I understand.
So, yeah. So that's his. But yeah, I guess that you could ask that whether it's a homestead, but it doesn't have to be for him to claim it as his residence.
Okay.
The state has said they have no jurisdiction.
If it's four units or less, they don't.
Well, then we have jurisdiction.
Which we've taken our action as far as code enforcement action. So
we leveled the fine?
Yes.
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 Oh, okay. When, you know, how soon do we have to wait to...
I don't know.
Foreclose on it.
Yeah, how soon
well,
do we have to wait?
Obviously, those are, you know, administrative decisions, right. And those are things that your letter will, you know,
right,
generate, and
the
conversation
basically
that Mr. Garcia has been having with staff and with, obviously, a commission, and being able to assess the, you know, whether those are, what the other options are above and beyond code enforcement.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, Mr. Garcia?
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
And congratulations.
And congratulations, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair.
Oh, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to say anything?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'd like to repeat something I think that Neil stated in the previous meeting. How disappointed I am to take a look here at the cases where people are up for a possible fine. 3 out of 9 people didn't show up. I don't know what's going on. I'm complaining about that one.
I think I did last month.
You know, subject to a fine right now. You've
right.
got ones where they get $200, $200,
a day.
$50 right. fine. Per day?
Right.
Mr. Smart.
I don't remember.
There's nothing that can that can be done legally to obligate these people to appear. It's just like in a criminal court proceeding. In a criminal court proceeding, you get a subpoena. If you don't show up, you're subject to be possibly arrested. A warrant gets issued for you. You show up, you show up. You don't, you don't. We, as an agency, have done the proper notifications and everything else. And you, as a board, are taking the action appropriately. So if they show, they show. If they don't, unfortunately, the chips fall where they fall, and it falls on the property owners.
Does this board have subpoena power?
I'm
sorry?
Doesn't this board have subpoena power?
No.
I mean,
I think they
do. Yes, they do, but the enforcement is not, we don't have the enforcement that the courts have. As an administrative body, we have no real enforcement if they don't come, except the penalties, which you already put in place. You know, we're more harsh with the fine because someone chose not
some
to come and contest.
Some lawyer decided he would put that in even though it's not enforceable.
Well, it's, I mean, it has an impact. The fact that you notified someone and said, get here, and they didn't show, that's something you're allowed to consider as you consider the right.
But
so you're only considering the, as you weigh, you know, the basis for why you're fining and how much you're fining. But one of the things I'd say as well to that is one of the things we recognize is the fact that people are irresponsible. That's the reason they're here for some. You know, that's the reason some people are here in the first place. They won't do what they ought to do. And so it's not as surprising that they, even at this point, would ignore something as serious as coming in and taking care of this action so that we can get a remedy. It is a sad commentary, but it's what we've been facing for a long time.
I know we can't force them to attend, but I just think
it is disappointing.
That's a third.
Right.
You have 3 out of 9.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, any other business? Meeting adjourned.